John Delaney said a dirty word in Davenport, then repeated it in Des Moines, and Sioux City, too. In fact, he's been saying it all across the state, unabashedly telling people he's a firm believer in, well,
bipartisanship.
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 It might be a dirty word in Washington, but it seems to be awfully refreshing right here in Iowa.
That ad played during last year's Super Bowl, the first ad of the 2020 cycle. We're joined now by the first candidate to enter the Democratic race, former Maryland Congressman John Delaney. He announced his run back in July 2017. Welcome to This Week.
Thanks for having me, George.
So you're 534 days in. How's it going?
I think it's going great. I mean, we've spent a lot of time in Iowa. We've done 21 trips there, 12 to New Hampshire. And I think my message, which is about bringing this terribly divided nation back together, solving real problems that are facing workers and families, particularly in light of how technology is changing the workforce, getting big things done to build a better future, and restoring a sense of almost moral aspiration to our political discourse.
No,
I think that message is cutting through very well.
No bipartisanship in Washington right now, so let's put your ideas to the test.
Sure.
Well, how would you solve the shutdown?
Well, I wouldn't have caused the shutdown, right? So I think it's pretty clear the Senate Republicans have to reopen up the government. I mean, that's the obvious path.
And we saw that from Lindsey Graham. But a broader question now, you know, you are trying to talk about healing the divide.
In
the last, now 10 years in this country, over the space of 8 years, we saw the country elect Barack Obama president and Donald Trump president. You couldn't imagine really two more different people to hold that office. So how do you speak to that divide?
Well, I just think it takes leadership. What the American people are really looking for is a leader to try to bring us together, not actually talk like half the country's entirely wrong about everything they believe. Focus on where we have common ground, talk about big things for our future, and really do things differently. One of the things I've pledged is in my first 100 days, only to do bipartisan proposals. Wouldn't it be amazing if a president looked at the American people at the inauguration and said, I represent every one of you, whether you voted for me or not, and this is how I'm going to prove it.
But then doesn't that cut against what a lot of Democrats are expecting? If you're only putting bipartisan legislation on the floor, that means no Medicare for all, no Green New Deal, no $15 an hour minimum wage.
Well, first of all, there's things we agree with, right? In building infrastructure, comprehensive immigration reform was bipartisan, fixing our broken and immoral criminal justice system is bipartisan. Things like national service, right, giving opportunity for young people who graduate from high school to serve their
country.
So you
put other Democratic priorities on the back
burner. The first 100 days, right, you prove to the American people that we can actually start solving problems and getting things done. Then you start talking about some of the big things we need to do to build a better future. Universal health care, I fully support. And I believe there's ways of getting that done. I introduced the first bipartisan carbon tax bill in the Congress of the United States last year to show that climate change, which is a huge threat to our prosperity, to our national security, we can actually come together and solve that problem. So I think there's a pathway to do big things together as a country. But there's also, in the short term, there's a lot of things we agree with each other that have to get done. And we need a leader that wants to actually start bringing the country together, restoring a sense of this, as I say, moral aspiration to who we are as a country. And that's what the American people are looking for. They're tired of being divided.
You had a very successful career on Wall Street before you became...
Not on Wall Street.
In business. Before you became
yes,
a member of Congress. And George Will, though, in a very highly complimentary column about you, also said this. He said, white male businessman, those three words. In a Democratic primary, those are three strikes against you. Is he right about that this year?
I don't think he's right about that. Look, I'm not a person of color, and I'm not a woman, and I appreciate the fact that I have had different experiences and haven't had to deal with some of the challenges that people of color in our country have had to deal with and women have had to deal with. But I think at the end of the day, what the Democratic primary voters are going to look for is a leader, someone who can lead our country into the future with a real vision as to how to create a more prosperous, just, and secure future for all Americans. They're looking for leadership, particularly in the context of what they're seeing now. So I believe the Democratic primary voters are going to look for that leadership, who has a positive view of the future, who understands how technology, automation, global interconnections are fundamentally changing everything in our society, and who has real plans to solve real problems, to get things done to improve the lives of our
citizens. You've been paying a large measure of your own campaign. You can afford it right now. Elizabeth Warren says that there shouldn't be self-funding. How do you respond to that?
Well, I don't think that's true. I think people are fine with people investing in their campaigns. I also raise money from people, so I'm not entirely self-funding my campaign.
How about the idea we heard from the new Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez saying that the marginal tax rate on those earning about $10 million a year should be 70%?
I think marginal tax rate should be higher, but if we actually want to create more fairness in our tax code, we would also start taxing investment income more similar to what workers get paid at. There's a massive kind of unfairness between the amount of taxes people pay who invest for a living versus people who pay who work for a living. And I think that can generate more revenues for the government. So directionally, I think there's huge kind of structural unfairness in our country right now, whether it's through the tax code, whether it's through our environmental policies, whether it's in our criminal justice system, our immigration system. My wife and I were at the border 2 weeks ago. We took 14 law students down to Dilley, Texas, where the largest detention facility is in this country, to hear asylum cases for a week, right? So if you go through immigration, criminal justice, the tax system, there's huge structural unfairness in this country. We got to reform it. And the tax code is part of that.
What qualifies you to be Commander-in-Chief?
Well, I've served in the Congress for the last 6 years, so I understand how our federal government works. I've spent a lot of time with our military. I have a strong view about what the U.S.'s role is internationally. I generally believe with the post-World War II model for U.S. leadership. And I think I'm in a very good position to be the
candidate. And finally, before we go and ask you about those other headlines this morning about President Trump, the report in the New York Times that he was investigated by the FBI, also concealing his conversations with Vladimir Putin. Do you believe he is compromised by Vladimir Putin?
Well, that's for Mr. Mueller to determine. I mean, it's highly suspicious, his behavior. We haven't had a president who has been as supportive as Vladimir Putin in decades, or the Russian government in decades. So it's highly suspicious. I think his business dealings in the past are highly suspicious. I know from my experience in the private sector, no one in the United States would actually invest in him or lend money to him. So he had to go abroad to get his financing for his projects. So I think there's a lot of flashing yellow lights. But what we should do is we should wait for the result of that report to determine. And they're obviously investigating it. And I trust the special counsel's work. I mean, I think he's been terrific. There's been no leaks. He's obviously been very thorough. He's uncovered a lot of, you know, highly suspicious activity, and a lot of people who are very close to the president obviously have been charged with crimes. So,
John Delaney, thanks for coming in this
morning.
Thanks
for having me, George.
Hi, everyone. George Stephanopoulos here. Thanks for checking out the ABC News YouTube channel. If you'd like to get more videos, show highlights, and watch live event coverage, click on the right over here to subscribe to our channel. And don't forget to download the ABC News app for breaking news alerts. Thanks for watching.